Few images of Jesus are as striking as Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In nearly every Sunday school room in America, although not, I don't think we have one in ours, curiously enough, there is a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd holding a sweet little lamb in his arms. You can advance the slide. That one's probably one of the most famous pictures of in the 20th century painted by Warner Salmon, who also painted the famous Head of Christ. That's on bookmarks just about everywhere. You can also see a copy of that painting in our community room above the mailboxes. But the image has been popular for millennia. Early Christians were carving it in the catacombs, back when overt Christian symbols would have been repressed. You can advance the slide. That's from the 3rd century, so 200s. So it's that image of the Good Shepherd has been around a very long time. Back to the Old Testament, where kings were called shepherds. And why not? When you're a little member, why isn't it popular? Because when you're a member of a little sect of believers, as John's community may have been, the world can undoubtedly feel threatening. They were on the fringe of society, excommunicated from their synagogues for their faith in Jesus. They had no one else to turn to. There was no one else to trust in but Jesus. For them, the Good Shepherd wasn't about saccharine sentimentality, but about life and death itself. For us, though, today, we seem to have a whole lot of choices of shepherds. The Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote, "Anything on which your heart relies or depends, I say, that is your God." As traditional religious faith has declined in America, plenty of idols have sprung up. Pop culture icons, political leaders seem to be the most popular, but there are others out there too. Family, spouses, children, country, especially money, possessions, those can all be made into an idol by our hearts. Paraphrasing Matthew's gospel, we sheep are often in search of a shepherd, but one to our liking. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd, not in a way that corresponds to our wants, but in a way that corresponds to our needs. And this is at the heart of the conflict today between Jesus and the religious leaders. Earlier in chapters 9 and 10, Jesus healed a man born blind. Before healing him, Jesus refuted the idea that the man born blind or his parents had to have done something to deserve his condition. Yet the religious leaders who are stuck on control, some things don't change, could not accept that Jesus had been able to heal him. After interrogating him and his parents, they ask him to repeat his testimony. His response is a lot like Jesus's in our reading. "I told you, but you wouldn't listen." Jesus is not the shepherd they would have preferred. And why not? Because Jesus's power is radically different than what the world expects. Any proper messianic king would use force or the threat of force to accomplish his goals. That's been the case throughout history up to the present day. Jesus's power is different. Jesus's power is shown by pouring himself out for us. Earlier in John's gospel, John the Baptist twice acclaims Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation also consistently uses the image of the slaughtered lamb for Jesus. Jesus, to take the risk of mixing metaphors a bit, but hey, the scripture does it, is the Good Shepherd who is also the Lamb slain for our sake. He is not a leader who compels or forces. He's not the messianic king whose realm can be identified on a map. He has none of the usual trappings of secular power. In fact, he tells Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Rather, Jesus is the Lamb, Shepherd, King who knows us more intimately than we know ourselves and knows our deepest needs more than we know them. He says so in verse 27. I know them, and they follow me. People of God, especially you, Aiden, I knew I was going to get your head to look up, and Emily. Jesus knows us, and Jesus knows you. Jesus knows our restlessness, our fears, our distraction sickness. Jesus knows our longing for safety and security, particularly in this anxious age. And Jesus knows our wandering hearts that search for a shepherd to our liking. Jesus, in contrast, is not the shepherd that meets our every whim. He's the good shepherd and the Lamb of God who meets our deepest need. And he meets those needs not through control, but through the cross. As he says on the eve of his arrest, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. I think I'll hear some stories of that faith in action here pretty soon. And that those will speak to the power of Christ to draw all people to himself. You've both experienced that power. I've heard you talk about it. For you, Aiden, it was, and not to steal your thunder here, but I'm just going to give a little preview, okay? It's in a Youth for Christ event where you experienced something very unexpected. And for Emily, you experienced that power on a Christ hike. You've gotten just a taste of that already. Confirmation is not the end of learning about Jesus. It's not the end of learning about his love for you or his love for everyone else. As you continue to follow Jesus, know that it's just the beginning. Today's just the beginning. And as you continue to follow, my prayer is that you would continue to know that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. I think I'll repeat that because that's a mouthful. I pray that you would know that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Jesus knows your sin. Jesus knows your failings. Jesus knows your fears. Jesus knows all the wonderful things that make you who you are as well. Just as Jesus knows about all of that about each one of us. Yet, you know, Jesus chooses to love us. Chooses to love us. He doesn't search for absolutely perfectly formed people. Jesus is looking for people. For plain, ordinary, regular people like you and me to be his followers. Jesus loves us, and Jesus is our good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep of every time and place, just as he laid down his life for you. As you continue to follow Jesus throughout your life, you will get to know him better. But you won't get to know him perfectly. This whole Christian life, as Martin Luther once put it, is, and I'm quoting here, not godliness, but the process of becoming godly. Not health, but getting well. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but is actively going on. This is not the goal, but it is the right road. At present, everything does not gleam and sparkle, but everything is being cleansed. End quote. Know always that Jesus is your good shepherd, just as he is mine and that of the whole church. And when he says he will lead us into life, know that he will do it. Jesus keeps his word, and he keeps his word to you and to me. Thanks be to God. Amen.